Weak is the new strong. Weak is the new strong. There's a kind of formula in the English language where we say is the new, don't we? I've heard brown is the new black. I've heard hair is a new hat. I've heard when I went part time at school, I went to 4 days a week, took Friday off to work for the church in Liverpool that we were at, and Thursday was the new Friday. I loved school on Thursday. Everyone else is in the next day. Thursday is the new Friday. I've heard that 50 is the new 40. Woohoo! And so on. Well, I'm going to tell you today that weak, for the Christian, weak is the new strong. Weak is the new strong. We've been looking at the book of Ezra when I've been talking, and we've seen a returning remnant from Babylon, from exile, and we've seen some rebuilding go on. And there comes this word whilst the building is going on. And it comes in Zechariah, actually, 4:6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. He's the guy who's governing the building. Not by might.
Hallelujah.
Not by power.
Yes, indeed.
But by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. We need his power. We cannot build anything in the spiritual dimension without him. And this building was a physical temple. But even that, because it was a place of worship, had to be done by his spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. Now, I've been thinking about the temple being built and likening it to a New Testament understanding of the temple, saying that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. And we are to build ourselves up in the most holy faith, to edify ourselves. But we are to do that not by might, not by power. So that could look like self-effort, self-exertion, trying too hard. There was a time at Bible college where three of us got up very early to pray, very early. And we'd go to the chapel, which was always open, and we'd spend 45 minutes. We used to do duties to keep the fees down. We used to do duties before breakfast. They didn't do that at Matters, I don't think, did they? Before breakfast. Anyway, whether they did or not, the one I went to, we did 30 minutes of duties before breakfast. So we'd go down in our gardening clothes or whatever it was in the dark, and we spent 45 minutes praying together, the three of us, perhaps sharing a bit of scripture, and then off we'd go about our day. One of those three ended up in a mental home because it was self-exertion. It wasn't in the spirit. It was for that person. They were doing other things as well. They just felt like they weren't doing enough for God to get close to him. They weren't pressing into the presence enough. They weren't doing enough. And they were acting by might and by. So we were actually asked to stop having those meetings because of the consequences. So we just did our own thing and maybe met at other times to pray if we wanted to pray with someone. I'm just illustrating to you that we can do the right thing but be wrong. It is not by might. It's not by self-effort. Weak is the new strong. So there was opposition to the build. And Mark reminded us that we are in a spiritual battle last week when he preached. If you didn't hear Mark preach and you haven't re-listened to his sermon from last week, it's on our YouTube channel. If you just go to Brixham.church and scroll down, there's a link to it there. You'll see his ugly mug, and then you can click on the picture. And so William says you're very handsome.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Christine? Anyway, so oh dear. We are in a spiritual battle. There is spiritual warfare. It is real. The battle is real. The spiritual dimension is real. And we read last week from Ephesians 6:12, For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a battle. We are at war. And at the same time, we're trying to build. And I've mentioned how building the temple for me resembles building myself up as a spiritual Christian. But also the temple in the New Testament refers to all of us collectively. We are the temple of God. And we're trying to build something here. And we're believing for revival.
Amen.
We're believing for breakthrough.
Yes.
And people are seeing breakthroughs. You don't know some of the breakthroughs, some of the people in our congregation, some of them aren't here, are going through. You don't know some of the green shoots that people can be testifying about. There are things happening in people's hearts and in people's lives. But there is opposition, and it is real. And I tell you, that song that I asked Ruth to play, because I introduced it last week, that talks about praising him. It's not just about trusting him in every trial. It's about praising him in every trial. That the enemy hates it. He hates the name of Jesus. So anyway, this is, we're trying to do this building. We're trying to build ourselves up. You're trying to build yourselves up. I'm trying to be part of it. We're all trying to be part of this body of Christ that we're trying to build up. And if we go in, if we slip into self-effort, we're in trouble. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by his spirit. And just to remind you that you are weak, we all came from dust. Just thought I'd remind you. Genesis 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. And the word Adam sounds like ground. So hope that leaves you grounded in the word. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It's the breath, it's the same word as wind, the same word as spirit. It's not by our strength, it's by his spirit. We're made from dust. And the man became a living being. And God knows that we are dust. He knows that we're weak. Well, our feeble frame, he knows. It says in Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children. Thank you, Lord. He's a good father. As a father has a good father. I mean, you know what your dad was like. Mine was great. And still is.
Amen.
Amen. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed, because he was there. He remembers that we are dust. Just saying. We are weak, but weak is the new strong, because his power is made perfect in our weakness. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by his spirit, says the Lord. Now, this might contradict some of the things I've said before my Ezra stuff. I was doing things on self-esteem. But if you remember that our self-esteem doesn't come from self-effort, it comes from him. It comes from knowing who I am in Christ. So I would like to say that although you are dust, you are precious dust. I like to think of you as gold dust.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful, hey? You are precious dust. This is not about poor self-esteem. Good way of explaining it, and a wise man once did, is to say that we're to come to him like a child. See, children are weak. I can hear children playing through there. And if I were to go in there and say, right, who wants an arm wrestle? I'd probably enjoy that, because I could win. Because children are weak. That's not a criticism. They're no less precious, are they? So weakness doesn't mean worthlessness. It just means weak. So you can be weak and worth a lot of things.
Yeah.
Weak is the new strong for the Christian. We're not to walk in our own strength. So Jesus talked about children. I'm going to read that to you. And then we're going to move into a few things Paul said about his power, God's power, being made perfect in weakness and I'm hoping that you'll be challenged not to go off in your own strength. Whatever it is you're trying to build in your own, the temple of your life, and whatever you're believing for in this church and the church of Jesus in the Torbay and beyond, that you will be encouraged and challenged not to think things through too much without the Holy Spirit speaking into your heart. Matthew 18, verse 2 onwards. He called a little child to him. There's two words in the Greek for children, and he picked a little child and placed the child among them. Poor kid. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So he's weak, but precious. And that's how it says in the psalm, it's as a father has compassion on his children, he remembers that we're dust. It's not like you're just a pile of dust, you. He just knows that compared to him, we're weak. And without him, we can't do anything. Matthew 18, verse 4. "Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Jesus understood that to enter into the spiritual warfare that Mark was talking about, we don't go in all guns blazing with our own strength. We come in weak and we say, "It's by the power of the name of Jesus I come against the enemy." Jesus even illustrated it by coming to earth as a child. He was willing to do it. Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to come to earth as not just a human. He could have just appeared as a 30-year-old. He came as a baby. If Jesus was willing to be like a child and even indeed be a child, we need to humble ourselves before God and recognize that I am weak and he is strong. This should be good news to anyone who's feeling weak. Welcome to the week. It's Sunday. Welcome to the week. So Paul said, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Paul was talking to the Philippians about how, it's in 4:13, Philippians 4:13. He was talking to the Philippians about how he's been hungry and he's had plenty and he has learned the secret of being content in all circumstances because he can do all this, he can do all things through Christ who gives him strength. Now that word, "who gives me strength" or "who strengthens me," it's saying that the word means to put strength into. It's the one way I've heard it explained is like infusing strength into you. So you can do all things, but not in your own strength. But by Christ's power infused into you. In fact, I've got an illustration. Got a see-through teapot with a tea bag in, and I've got some hot water. Ooh. I'm going to make a cup of tea because we talk about tea infusions, don't we, these days? Infusion. And the strength, see, this water here is, oh, it's still hot, is it's colorless and has no strength. Yeah? Very simple illustration, but I just hope the visual stays with you. And that when the strength of the tea bag, oh,
see the steam.
Yeah. I don't know what that symbolises. Make up your own meanings to that bit. So, even without stirring it, you see the strength. It's gone through the whole of the water. The strength is there. And that's what this word means to me about strengthens me. I'm still in Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. It's infusing with the power, with the strength. The strength is all the way through you. We need God's power within us. Otherwise, we are colourless and have no strength. It's not like we just need a bit of God's power now and then. That now is permanently changed, that water. It'd be very hard. You need some real technology to take the it could be done, to take the colour and the tea out of it. And that's what I'm praying for all of us, is that we just are infused with God's strength as we build ourselves up in the most holy faith. And I've talked about ways we can do that by speaking in tongues every day, by reading his word, by declaring scripture out loud, and by praying. And praying with one another, we can be infused with his strength. And Paul had learnt the secret of being satisfied and content in all circumstances by the power of God that was within him. Another way of thinking about, I've got another visual aid. It's a, can you guess what it is? No, it's a light bulb. So, oh, biscuits. Can you imagine this light bulb trying to light up in its own strength? Not connected to any electricity. Just thinking, well, I'm a light bulb, I'm destined to shine. So, it needs to be plugged in to the power source. It needs the electricity to flow through it. And that's what Christians are like. And I have lived in church all my life. I've grown up in church. I've never left the Lord. I've never left church attendance. I've been around Christians all my life. I'm 52 years old. And I have seen many, many Christians who are trying to live without Christ. Ooh, the word Christian should be a clue, the first five letters. But I've met many Christians in my Christian walk who are trying to shine without plugging into the electricity. I can only do this through Christ who gives me strength. I'm going to stick that in there and see if it lights up. It's not. It's cooled down now. Anybody feeling concerned that there's going to be steam on there now and when I plug it back into our lighter? No, no one cares. Good. Okay. You get the picture. We need his strength. We can't do it without him. Stop trying.
Amen.
Yeah. Enough with this. That's beautiful, isn't it? Just stop and listen to the bird for a moment. Enough with the self-effort. We need his strength within us. We need to wait on him. And this is not about me saying to God, please bring your power to the thing I've decided I need to be doing. It's about humbling myself and becoming weak before him. Because there is a war on. Because we are in a spiritual battle. And we do need his strength. We need the full armour of God that Mark preached through last week. Did a great job. I was encouraged. But why doesn't God just rescue us from trouble? I mean, even the psalmist asks these questions. Why doesn't God just pluck me from this disaster and take me to a nice place and put me on a beach and have a nice time? Why can't God just rescue us? Why does he have to leave us in hardship, difficulty, trials, troubles, temptations, tribulations? Why does he have to do that and leave us there and then say, right, now you're not going to get through that on your own, you need my strength? Well, have you ever seen someone grow up under an overprotective parent?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the phrase, she wraps that kid up in cotton wool? And have you ever seen how that person grows up, unable to cope with the realities of life? When you over shelter someone, God is building a champion out of you. He's strengthening you in the Lord. He's teaching you through the trial. Even Jesus promised it. I've said before, we all want to claim the promises of God. Well, here's a promise no one seems to want to claim. In this world, you will have trouble. That's Jesus. Satan didn't say that to you. Jesus said it. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I says Jesus, have overcome the world. See, it points back to him. Where does the strength come from? Where does the overcoming come from? It comes from him being infused with his strength, plugged into the power source. Weak is the new strong. We need to recognize our own weakness. We need to accept it. And this isn't a rubbish move. This isn't putting yourself down. This is just you before God saying, I can't do any of this without you. And sometimes God just wants you to feel a little bit out of your depth. God's way is not usually to pull you out, but to prepare a banqueting table for you in front of the enemy. That's what it says. That's part of Psalm 23. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. That means the enemies still exist. But it's his strength. Because weak is the new strong. So let's think about Paul and his thorn. In 2 Corinthians 11, you could think of some of 2 Corinthians 11 as Paul's CV, his curriculum vitae, his resume. Because he talks through some of the stuff he's been through. Oh, the things Paul went through once he became a Christian. Beaten, flogged, had stones pelted at him, thought to be dead. And then right at the end, and he talks about, and they had to carry the burden of all the churches. And he talks a bit more, and then right at the end he says, and once I got lowered out of a window in a basket. And I'm like, Paul, that just sounds fun. Don't add that to your trials, because that just sounds cool. So anyway... But it was a fearful time. He's been through a lot. But what does Paul boast in? Is he saying that because he's boasting? But no, he goes on, and in verse 30, he says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Ooh, we don't like to show our weakness, do we? I've been going to a gym since last August. Can you tell?
No.
Oh, yeah. No. And, you know, it's one of those gyms that isn't, like, full of steroid-taking bodybuilders who want to lift heavy weights. It's ordinary, which is nice. But there are some guys who just strut about the place. And you just think, do you really need a T-shirt that's sort of so cut out here that we can just see those back muscles and those shoulder muscles? They want to show their strength. Nice guys. They're all good guys. But Paul said, I'm only going to boast in things that show my weakness. What an upside down kingdom we found ourselves in. And then in the next chapter, that was all in 2 Corinthians 11, in the next chapter, he talks about this thorn in the flesh. He says, I had this thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan. So people have tried to work out what this thorn in the flesh was, because he's speaking metaphorically, but he does elaborate and say it was a messenger from Satan. So I just think we're back in the spiritual warfare zone. If it's a messenger from Satan, it's pretty serious and it's pretty spiritual. And three times he asked the Lord to take it away. And here's God's reply. My grace is sufficient for you. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. It's almost as if the more I accept that I am weak, the more room I'm making for the Lord. Think about it. So that Christ's power may rest on me. There's a consequence. He feels like God's power will rest on him more as he acknowledges and even boasts in his weaknesses. We're building a temple. Weak is the new strong. The thorn kept him from using his own strength. That's why God didn't take it away. I want you to rely on my grace, Paul. I want you to stay plugged in. I don't want you to, because Paul was a very competent man. He was exceptionally competent at many things. And it would have been easy for him to slip into self-effort and rely on his own strength. So God has to allow the enemy some room, but actually, ultimately, to bring out God's glory. Wow, that's pretty heavy stuff. The Amplified version of that same verse, that's 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, puts it like this. Just let these words wash over you and take them on board for yourselves. But he said to me, he has said to me, that's talking about God, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. So my challenge today, recognize you are weak. Because weaknesses are opportunities for God to show up. Does anybody remember? Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, hope of glory. He turns our weaknesses into his opportunities, so that the glory goes to him. Ace. Weaknesses are opportunities. As I've said, it's not the same as saying, well, I've decided, Lord, that this is your will. Now, will you strengthen me to do it? It's not asking God to give us strength to do something we've chosen to do in our own strength. Hudson Taylor called it helpless dependence. And that takes a lot of humility to say, I'm going to pursue an attitude of helpless dependence. It just rails against the idea of being a self-made man. I used to listen to a Christian artist called Steve Taylor, and he had a song called Jesus is for Losers. And I don't like that title, because it's like that's the criticism. That's what my friends used to tell me in sixth form. Yeah, Jesus is for losers. But he was twisting the idea, saying Jesus is for the weak. And in that song there was a line that said, the self-made need not apply. The self-made need not apply. You're not needed here. If you're a self-made man, you're the opposite of what Jesus is asking you to be, like a child. We've got to come to him like children. It's the power of Christ that counts, not your own strength. And I've heard it said that if just 1% of you thinks you can do it on your own, you're going to focus on that 1%. We've got to surrender all to him. And I believe this is the key to some of the breakthrough that was prophesied about this morning. The self-made need not apply. If 1% of you thinks you can do it on your own, Whatever it is, you're going to focus on that 1%. That's just like a grain of yeast, bad yeast. Yet Paul was able to say, I have been crucified with Christ. Where's the 1% now? I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Recognize you are weak, because weak is the new strong. Back to temple building. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. This came to Zerubbabel, who was helping, governing the building of the temple, a very practical affair, a very hands-on bricks, stones, wood affair. And God is saying, even in your practical, it's not by might. We've got a couple of joiners and carpenters, you know, people who work with their hands with wood in here. And even they would say, I do my best work when I include the Lord in my day. Whatever you do, whatever you turn your hand to, we're doing it for the glory of God. So I want to pray with you. I want to pray through this amplified version again. So why don't you close your eyes? It's a one-point sermon, isn't it? Weak is the new strong. Everybody, eyes closed. Take a breath. Just take a moment to come into that place of intimacy. It's just you and God now. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough. Always available, regardless of the situation. For my power is perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. Lord Jesus, God, I receive your grace that is sufficient for me. In the quietness of your heart, just say that to him now. You don't have to speak the words. Just say to him, Lord, I receive your grace over that circumstance, over that situation. I receive your grace. It's enough. It's more than enough. Lord, your loving kindness and your mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation. And I acknowledge and accept that in my weakness, your power is being perfected. Lord God, it is in my weakness that your power shows up most effectively. So Lord, help us to acknowledge our weaknesses, not put ourselves down about them, but allow you to flood in, to infuse us with power, where we feel colourless and weak. Infuse us with your power. God, I commit today to boast about my weaknesses, not in a self-deprecating way or out of low self-esteem, but so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and live inside of me. God, let your power be infused in me today as I surrender to you completely in helpless dependence. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.